Verbcast, episode 32, Halloweencast. Warning, if you are listening to this, it is already too late for you. You are now one of us, the Verb Zombies. You must do your every bidding. You are going to send us copies of your most intimate Cruise Squad Wild moments. Send them to Gene.
Hold up. No. Wait. Stop. I told you we were not going to do that bit.
We would just edit that out later.
No. Stop being creepy.
But it is Halloween time to be creepy.
Just remember, I control the horizontal. I control the vertical. And I control your microphone. Now that the creep's mic is off, welcome to Halloween Cast, Twerpcast, episode 32. Today we will discuss the Halloween holiday and some of our favorite moments.
I'm going to kick your arse.
If you promise to behave yourself, I'll let you come back.
I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Potato Head, Master of Disguise. He can be any of 1,000 other guys. But various copyright laws and other legal jargon keep me from doing so. So without further ado, here's Jimmy!
And I will introduce Count Doug Zeitlin, Captain of the Calico Cat Collectors Coalition. Their motto, a cat in every bag, and every bag at the bottom of the river. Today we're handling things a little bit differently. Normally we sit and talk about a movie or a book or a book about a movie or a movie about a book or a television series based on a movie and or book.
Our TV series based on a movie based on a book.
But today we're going to talk about a holiday.
It is a holiday. It's not a holy day, but it is a holiday.
Halloween started out as an ancient Celtic festival known as, and I hope I'm not butchering this too badly, Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N.
Samhain!
If you know how to pronounce it properly, send us a MP3 file of exactly how to say it, and we'll put it on our next broadcast. Anyway, the Celtic festival was a celebration of the end of the harvest season in Gaelic culture. It was a time to take stock of supplies and slaughter livestock for winter storage. It was believed that the boundary between the alive and the deceased dissolved during this period of time, but the dead became dangerous, causing sickness or damaged crops. Costumes and masks were worn to mimic the evil spirits or placate them. On the flip side, Halloween does have some roots in being a holy day as well. The word Halloween comes from All Hallows' Even, as it took place the eve before All Hallows' Day. All Hallows' Day was a day of religious festivities in various northern European pagan traditions. Pope Gregory III and Pope Gregory IV changed it in 835 AD by moving the Christian feast All Saints' Day from May 13th to November 1st, essentially merging the two holidays together so that the pagans that had recently been converted over to Christianity would still feel comfortable celebrating on the days that they were used to celebrating on. The church celebrated the day as the Vigil to All Saints. Halloween did not become a holiday in the U.S. until the 19th century, though. Migration following the Irish potato famine brought the holiday to the United States, with the main event for children being trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating became widespread by the end of the 1930s. The other thing that Halloween is fairly well known for is for its vandalism. A lot of kids go on out and use vandalism as the trick aspect of the trick-or-treating. Around 1912, the Boy Scouts and Boys Club organizations came together to encourage safe celebration to end the destruction that had become so common. Halloween is also a big holiday in Mexico because it begins 3 days of consecutive holidays. Not only do you have Halloween, but it is followed by All Saints Day, and All Saints Day marks the beginning of the 2-day celebration of the Day of the Dead.
The dead. The dead.
So the thing that you have to ask yourself is, what's the big deal?
Let's jump forward to modern times, and everything being politically correct. We can't have Christmas pageants at school, we have winter pageants.
It's not Easter break anymore. It's spring break.
And there's a whole thing about not celebrating Halloween anymore.
The strange thing is that the complaints about celebrating Halloween typically comes from the other side of the fence, from the people who don't want to celebrate Christmas or Easter anymore. The anti-Halloween people tend to be more along the lines of the religious right. Now, oftentimes, I am the person who speaks from that location. Of the two of us, I am definitely the religious right on this team.
That would be correct, sir! Ha ha!
Thank you, Ed. But what people seem to forget is that the religious right doesn't always represent the views of all Christians. They are the squeakiest wheels. They make the most noise. And they also often make Christians look bad. One of the things that really kind of rattles my cage is the big to-do that people make out of this, because of the fact that it is a quote-unquote pagan holiday. Yes, it has its roots in paganism. The root of the kids dressing up in costumes goes back to trying to scare off the dead. I understand that. But when you have people who are extremely vocal about taking Halloween out of the schools and enforcing their belief system on everyone involved, quite frankly, it reeks of what they complain about the other side doing all the time. You can't sit there and say, we want to have this holiday banned because it goes against our religious beliefs, but then get offended when other people say that they don't want these holidays because of their religious beliefs. And that goes for both sides, because even if you're an atheist, you have a religious belief. In fact, there are many atheists who are far more devout in their religion than many Christians are.
Let's see if I can get all of my points out in some sort of order for you. Number one, I think that you hit upon the pagan aspects of the origin of the holiday, but really missed over the religious aspects of trick-or-treating. The costumes may come from the pagan tradition, but the going door-to-door trick-or-treating comes from the Christian tradition. That was where, on All Hallows Eve, the poor would go from door to door, and they would offer to say prayers for the souls of your relatives in limbo, and in exchange, you would feed them. So it really is a melding of the religious holidays. I can't stand people who want to bring political arguments into the school system. School system is not there to be a political pawn. It's there to educate your children. It's there to make them think. And you know what? I don't care if my 6-year-old dresses up as a princess. She's never going to be a princess. Well, she's never going to be a real princess.
She will always be a princess in daddy's eyes.
Yes. But at the same time, what other things do we teach our children? We teach them about the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. I mean, there's so much out there. I don't mind that being in the school, not as part of their education, but just as part of American culture. These are things that everyone is going to experience. I'm not saying don't teach my kids about Ramadan. If that's something that is important to bring into the school and show American traditions, then yeah, that should be in there. But at the same time, that doesn't mean my family's going to participate in Ramadan. I don't have any problems learning about it or being aware of it.
The aspect of it being in the schools is also very pertinent because of the fact that a lot of my childhood memories include things like Halloween. Halloween is very much a staple of being a child. And in this day and age, with kids growing up so fast, if they have just one thing that they're able to do and embrace their childhood still, I can't object to it.
I agree. We have to let our children be children first. They're going to grow up no matter what we do. Let's let them have that time as a children. Don't steal it from them.
A moment ago, you also made the point about the merging of pagan holidays and Christian holidays. If you are going to object to Halloween, you have to object to December 25th and Easter as well. The estimated date of birth of Yeshua, son of Joseph the carpenter and Mary, his wife, is actually somewhere around the beginning of October. It actually took the sages somewhere between 2 and 6 months to catch up to the family and present their gifts. So the celebration of Christmas on December 25th is actually based on the winter solstice, which was celebrated by the pagans. In order to make things easier for them, they put Christmas on the winter solstice so that they could just continue having their celebrations just the purpose for the celebrations got changed. Likewise, Easter should actually correspond directly with Passover, because the crucifixion and the resurrection took place during the Passover. Instead, the Catholic Church switched the celebration to coincide with the vernal equinox, again, to make things easier for the pagan converts. So, if you're going to object to Halloween, shouldn't you be objecting to Easter and do the celebration of the birth of Christ in October, if you really want to be strict about it? Or, we could follow the lead of the Pope Gregory's and Paul the Apostle, and actually make things easier for people to identify with Christians, rather than making it harder and alienating them.
Yes, we should have no celebrations whatsoever. Every day should be reverent.
I have absolutely no problem with people celebrating. Celebrate your religion, celebrate your family, and celebrate your country. Just don't throw a holy fit when people are having fun.
Fun is bad, bad, bad.
If people could only live with the fact that if you don't want to celebrate something in your own home, that's your right. You're within your rights to not celebrate Halloween if you feel as though there's something wrong with celebrating Halloween. If you feel as though it's not right to celebrate Christmas, then don't celebrate Christmas. If you don't think it's right to celebrate Easter, don't celebrate Easter. But don't try to steal it from everyone else. Just because you feel that way doesn't mean that everyone has to feel that way. But that actually carries me into rant number two. And that is the fact that somewhere between our childhood and today, things seem to have gotten really messed up as far as Halloween goes. And it was even starting back when we were kids, because the stories about people putting razor blades into apples and things like that were actually starting when we were still trick-or-treating. But the idea that somebody would actually purposely seek to harm and or kill innocent children, that is really, really, really messed up.
I think the word you're looking for is incredibly disturbing. This is actually kind of the other half of what I was saying when I kind of got in. We're not supposed to celebrate Halloween. It's actually like a regimented holiday. It's like 4 o'clock, turn on the porch lights. At 4:05, exit the building. At 4:15, collect candy. At 5 o'clock, be home. At 6 o'clock, check it for poison, for razor blades and needles. At 8 o'clock, be vigilant for people who are going to TP or egg your house. It just seems like this is what you have to do. And literally, there are laws. You can only start trick-or-treating at 4 o'clock. You have to stop by 6 o'clock. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not a holiday anymore. It's just, you will do this at this time.
When we were kids, I'm thinking like early teens, when you're just starting to break out of your parents' shadow and you're actually allowed to go on out and do the trick-or-treating without them following behind you in the bushes with a flashlight. One of the great rites of passage was being able to be out trick-or-treating at 9, 10 o'clock at night, just raiding entire neighborhoods, going to other subdivisions miles away to collect as much candy as you could physically carry. And everybody understood that this was part of it. This was the fun. And somewhere along the line, people have made it so dangerous and so disturbing that kids aren't able to enjoy just going on out and hanging out with friends for hours on end anymore.
It's funny. I remember being in the house and like helping out with the trick-or-treating and giving out the candy. I remember the days when it'd be an hour into Halloween and Mom was like, go out, buy more candy. Quickly, we're running out of candy. Buy more candy. Now we're at the point where I live in a big subdivision of hundreds and hundreds of houses, and I only buy 2 bags of candy because I know I'll have leftovers.
In the 7 years that we've lived in this house, we've had maybe a grand total of a dozen trick-or-treaters. And this isn't a small neighborhood. There are literally hundreds of children within a 5-mile radius, and we never get trick-or-treaters anymore. Honestly, if anything is going to kill this holiday, it's that. It's the fact that kids aren't able to enjoy the holiday anymore. People are going to be too afraid to let their kids go out into the neighborhoods anymore. That just kind of builds on the general feeling that people don't live in neighborhoods anymore. People don't have neighbors anymore. They have people who live next door to them, but they don't get to know each other anymore because people are too afraid. Oh, is there a child molester living 3 doors down from me?
You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but we're afraid to let the child out our front doors.
Very much so. And it's sad. It is incredibly sad. I wish our kids were able to enjoy going out into the neighborhood like we used to. I remember hours and hours of fun every day just going on out and riding my bike around the block or down the street or to my friend's house. And we don't let my niece ride her bike out of our sight. She can ride down the block and then turn around and come right back again on the same path. But we don't let her out of our sight because we're afraid that somebody might grab her off the street.
And it's not like this is a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, this is actually a very good neighborhood for the city that we live in. It's just the general feeling that society has today, and it's just getting worse.
Okay, enough with the rant and the downers. Let's talk about what's good about Halloween.
One of the things that people really enjoy about Halloween, and in some ways I think this got twisted and this has caused some of the problems that we were just talking about, but people enjoy getting scared. It provides an incredible adrenaline rush without actually putting yourself in danger. Getting scared also allows people to live out dangerous or adventurous desires in a safe environment of pretend. Kids dress up as Superman and Batman because they love the idea of going on out and fighting bad guys and whooping up on Lex Luthor or the Joker without actually running the risk of being in actual peril. Little girls dress up as princesses because they don't really live in a castle. They don't really live in medieval times. But it gives them a chance to expand and illustrate their creative side.
This goes beyond just Halloween. There wouldn't be amusement parks in this country if people didn't like that adrenaline rush and the safety. People love roller coasters. They love big drops. They love the spinning rides. They like to get that adrenaline rush with the feeling that they're going to be safe. Think about all of the horror movies that come out. Halloween 1, 2, 3, 75, I mean, you name it, there's a scary movie for it out there, and they have their place.
Personally, I'm not much of a fan of the scary movies. I'm not a big fan of getting scared. I prefer getting my adrenaline rushes other ways.
Well, I think that it's come down to there's different types of scary movies. There are thriller movies, which I think those are incredible. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock, Psycho, is a genius thriller movie. And you don't ever really actually see the woman being cut. You see what appears to be blood going down the drain, but you never see her getting cut. Also, M. Night Shyamalan's The Sixth Sense. I mean, that's a brilliant thriller movie.
Oh, yeah. And that's a great distinction that you've made there. I love thriller movies. It's the blood and guts,
heck and slash,
blood fests that I have absolutely no interest in. The fact that there are now 6 Saw movies is disturbing on multiple levels.
I understand it being disturbing, but it's not surprising at all. I mean, there were well over 10 Friday the 13th movies. There were probably near that many Nightmare on Elm Street movies. And they're remaking that again. There was half a dozen Halloween movies, which they're remaking again. For whatever reason, the hack and slash movies have a place.
Go back even further than the 1970s and look at the Dracula movies. Look at Frankenstein. Many of your classic horror characters deal with blood, dismemberment, scaring the living snot out of people.
Oh man, I think Christopher Lee, Vincent Price, Boris Karloff. If it weren't for horror movies, we wouldn't know what those names meant.
But again, those classic horror movies have more in common with thriller movies than they do with what is considered horror today, just because of the time and the limitations that were put on them because of it. But this is why people really enjoy Halloween. They enjoy getting scared. They enjoy that adrenaline rush.
What's your favorite Halloween memory?
As I said, I actually have several fond memories of celebrating Halloween. I remember the first time I got the chance to go out without the parental supervision and go with friends not only around my neighborhood, but to other neighborhoods, in some cases miles away. Those were some of the first experiences of individuality away from my parents that I can actually remember. But what is probably my favorite Halloween memory actually involves a church gathering where they realized that kids could still celebrate Halloween and be in a church environment. They threw a Halloween party, and the theme of it was to come dressed as your favorite biblical character. great way of blending the two situations together. At the time, my family was, well, to say that we were dirt poor insults dirt. We didn't have money for a costume, and I was just starting to enter into my teens. I was concerned about not fitting in because I didn't have a good costume or anything of that nature. But we had an old bathrobe that had multicolored stripes running all through it. And my dad came up with the idea of me wearing the bathrobe and going as Joseph. And it turned out to be a very, very positive thing for me because it gave me the chance to blend in with my peers at a time where I really desperately needed that opportunity. And it gave me a very good experience for the holiday. How about you?
I wish I could say that I had a story that could compete with that, but I really don't. And worse than that, my best Halloween memory is not from Halloween. One summer, a friend of mine from the neighborhood and I just came up with this crazy idea. We were just talking. We decided that in the middle of July, we weren't going to have any competition for candy for Halloween. So we made up Halloween costumes, and we went door to door, ringing the doorbell, and going, trick or treat! And people looked at us like we were nuts, and we just explained that we didn't want to wait in the long line.
Because back then, there were long lines.
We amused the neighbors. Actually, our next-door neighbor thought it was really funny. And this was a time when kids could actually, like, go into their neighbor's home without their parents. And she baked us chocolate chip cookies and gave us bottles of soda. But the stipulation on the fresh cookies were that was going to be the end of our trick-or-treating for the day. But we were more than happy to give up our July trick-or-treating. It was awful hot for those costumes.
Well, we have favorite Halloween memories, but the roads weren't paved with gold back in the 70s. Things were not perfect. So, I know that I've got at least one not-so-happy Halloween memory. What's yours?
That's a very good question. I guess this is not so much a worst Halloween memory as just a memorable, non-good event. But Halloween, as it happens in the Midwest, is often bad weather. And there was one year where it was about 9-10 o'clock at night, because yes, we could actually trick-or-treat till then, and my father had taken my two baby sisters out, and they were babies. They were probably 4 and 6 or something like that, and the weather really suddenly turned, and it was storming, there was lightning and thunder, and we didn't know where they were, because they were out trick-or-treating. And at one point, I opened the front door to look out and see if I could see them, and the pressure change between the inside of the house and the outside of the house was so great that the entire screen door got ripped off its hinges and blew across the lawn. The end of the story is the storm passed as quickly as it came, and my family took shelter in a neighbor home, because again, neighbor homes were safe in those days.
Yeah, the Midwest in October is a cruel, cruel mistress. Sometimes you got to go out trick-or-treating, and it was like being out in the middle of July. You know, 70, 80-degree weather at 9 o'clock at night. Very comfortable.
Yeah, we called it Indian summer when we could still use non-politically correct phrases.
But just as often, you'd have those blistery winter Halloweens. And again, it's not a bad memory as much as a memorable, non-good event. Was the year that it was literally 10 degrees above zero on Halloween night. And for the first time, I actually had a decent costume. I believe I was dressed up as Batman. And I was very proud of my plastic costume that was store-bought. And my parents wouldn't let me go out trick-or-treating without wearing my large, bulky winter coat over my Batman costume. As it was, I ended up going from house to house, and as they opened up the door, I'd unzip my coat, open it up so they could see that I was dressed up as Batman, and then zip it back up again. That year, I actually went as a Flasher. And, I mean, there are other memories in there, like the time that one of the neighbors rigged up a skeleton so that when you rang the doorbell, an evil laugh track would go off and the skeleton sprung up out of the chair and scared the living bejesus out of you. But again, that's that feeling of getting scared and still being in a safe environment. The plastic skeleton wasn't really going to hurt us. But, as I said earlier, I'm not a big fan of getting scared. They were successful, at least. Almost taught them a lesson, though. They would have felt really silly walking out and slipping on a yellow slab of ice.
Well, among other traditions of Halloween is, of course, the television Halloween special episode.
These have been on forever.
Even Star Trek has a Halloween episode called Cat's Paw.
The Dick Van Dyke Show had Halloween episodes. As long as there's been the capability of broadcasting entertainment into a person's home, there have been Halloween specials. There are old-time radio shows that have Halloween specials to them. So that's always been something to look forward to during the Halloween season. One of the modern classics at this, though, has got to be The Simpsons. Since their first full season, they've always done the Treehouse of Horror. Unfortunately, by the time this is reaching the World Wide Web, this year's Treehouse of Horror has already broadcast. So I can't say, make sure you sit down and watch it this year, because it's too late. But don't worry, tune in to your local Fox broadcasting network. I'm sure that they're going to be showing repeat after repeat after repeat from the past 20 years.
That's one of the things I enjoy about The Simpsons Halloween is you basically, you know, there's 10 hours worth of Simpsons programming.
To be honest, though, my all-time favorite Treehouse of Horror is still the first Treehouse of Horror. Their telling of the Raven was both massively entertaining and very reverent to the source material.
To be honest, I'm not going to top that. In modern times, I think Simpsons really takes the Halloween episode. One of my favorite Halloween episodes, and not to say it's trite, it's an old story, but it was well done, is one of the Halloween episodes of Quantum Leap. All I remember is that Sam thinks he's got to do one thing to leap, and Al thinks he's got to do another thing. And in the end, what it turns out is like one of the main characters that both Sam and Al have been helping has actually been dead the entire episode. And all they're trying to do is put the character to rest. And they don't know it until after everything has happened.
You're right. Quantum Leap was very, very good about it. Because I also remember a Quantum Leap episode. It was a different episode where Sam leaps in and he's being told by Al to do all of these things that just strikes Sam as being not quite right, but because Al is the guy who always gives him the advice, he's kind of following along. Come to find out at the end of the episode, he's standing there talking to Al when Al shows up. And the Al that has been giving him advice through the entire episode has been an evil doppelganger who they basically say is the devil. And, well, then Sam wakes up and finds out that it was all a dream. But it was a very good job of telling a story specifically for Halloween. In modern day, though, another show that has been doing a really good job of doing some Halloween stories is actually the show Bones. They did a actual Halloween story a few years ago, and this year's story, while it wasn't specifically Halloween-themed, did have to do with them finding a mummy and had a very Halloween-esque feel to it.
I did love that Halloween episode with Celie Booth going as a squint. That is hilarious.
And Temperance Brennan being Wonder Woman. Growl. And of course, we'd be majorly in the wrong if we talked about Halloween specials and didn't at least mention It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
I gotta agree with that. I think just as It's Christmas, Charlie Brown is the classic Christmas special, It's the Great Pumpkin is the classic Halloween special.
And thankfully, that is something that the kids can still be exposed to today. The broadcast may be 35 years old, but it's still just as entertaining today as it was back then.
I think we should wrap up talking about our favorite Halloween movies.
Well, as I said earlier, I'm not that big into the hack and slash films. In fact, I avoid them like the plague. Never really been a big fan of the zombie films or anything of that nature. So the closest thing that I come to Halloween films are actually some of the more thriller-esque films. You mentioned earlier The Sixth Sense, a new classic ghost story, if there ever was one. Very good storytelling. Definitely had some moments where that adrenaline level gets shot through the roof.
I see dead people.
And as we've said multiple times now, the debut of a wonderful writer and director.
If you'd like to know more about that writer-director, please see our previous episode of Twerpcast, Nightcast.
I've also been a longtime fan of the Hitchcock movies, specifically Psycho, Rear Window, The Birds. You know, these are all classic thriller films. And then I would probably finish off my list by including The Crow. While it does fall specifically into the superhero genre, the entire story takes place during Halloween, and I just think it's a great Halloween story. Of course, I am talking about the original, not any of the multiple bad sequels. And honestly, adding to its creepiness factor is the behind-the-scenes stuff that happened with Brandon Lee and him actually dying while making the movie. Seeing him get riddled with bullets in one of the scenes is eerie above and beyond what's actually taking place on the screen.
Never really cared for The Crow, but still to this day I think it was overhyped because of what happened to Brandon Lee. Have to agree with The Sixth Sense. That's just, I think, one of the all-time best thrillers I've ever seen. I don't think anybody will ever go wrong watching a Hitchcock movie. So all of those things, I just want to go ditto. I do have a favorite zombie movie, though. I think that everyone should own a copy of Shaun of the Dead. It is the greatest zombie comedy movie of all time, and probably one of the greatest zombie movies of all time. As far as a specific Halloween movie, I would just say, in modern day, I actually like what is really more not such a good movie, but it's called Monster House. It's this little motion capture film, it's PG-13, and even though it's animated, I would definitely say it's not a kid's movie. It's not a hack and slash movie, it's not a horror movie where you see everybody getting killed, but I think it's genuinely scary. It's a real Ernst movie. You know, I would never say it's going to win an Academy Award, and it's certainly not in the class of a Hitchcock or an M. Night Shyamalan, but for just a fun Halloween movie, just to sit down and see something that's F-U-N, I would suggest it.
Every time I hear monster something, you know, Monster House, whatever, I can't help but think back to the 1970s comedy that was on television called Monster Squad. It took all of the Universal monsters, put them together as a superhero group, and they went on out and fought crime. And yes, I did call it a comedy. It was very slapstick, like Batman, for that time period.
That would be really funny to redo. I'd love to see Joss Whedon do it in his snarky humor.
Yeah, it was the werewolf, Dracula, and Frankenstein.
And ironically enough, I think, except for Frankenstein, they've done all of that on Buffy.
No, they did Frankenstein too. So we'll consider that our last jaunt down memory lane. We hope that you have a very good Halloween. Make sure that it's safe for you and yours, and make sure that you have some fun.
Thank you for listening to TwerpCast. As always, we encourage your feedback. Please write Jim at twerponline.net. We can also be found on Facebook, Zanga, and MySpace.
This has been a broadcast of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2009.
He did the mash.
The monster mash.
He did the mash.